Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 29, Text Number 17. Yavat Sarveshu Bhuteshu.
Yavat Sarveshu Bhuteshu.
Madhpavo no pajayate. Tavadeva mupasita. Manmana kaya vritibhi. Yavat. As long as. Sarveshu.
In all.
Bhuteshu, living entities,
Madhava,
the vision of my presence,
na upajayate,
does not fully develop,
tavat,
for that long,
evam,
in this way,
upasita,
one must worship.
Vak
of his speech,
mana,
mind,
kaya,
and body,
vritibhi,
by the functions. Translation, unless one has developed the ability to see me within all living beings, one must continue to worship me by this process with the activities of his speech, mind, and body. Please repeat. Until one has fully developed
the ability to see me
within all living beings,
one must continue to worship me
by this process
with the activities
of his speech,
mind, and body.
Purport. Until one fully realizes the Supreme Lord within all living beings, he should continue the process of offering obeisances to all creatures. Although one may not be able to actually fall on the ground before all creatures, at least within his mind or by his words, one should offer respect to all living beings. This will accelerate the devotee's self-realization. I'll carry on. Text 18. Sarvam brahmatmakam tasya vidyayatma manishaya paripashyanuparamet sarvato mukta sanchaya. By such transcendental knowledge of the all-pervading personality of Godhead, one is able to see the absolute truth everywhere. Free thus from all doubts, one gives up fruit of activities. Text 19. Ayam hi sarvakalpanam sadrichino matamama madhava sarvabhuteshu manuvakkaya vritibhi. Indeed, I consider this process, using one's mind, words, and bodily functions for realizing me within all living beings, to be the best possible method of spiritual enlightenment. Text number 20. Na yang gopakrame dvangso madharmasyo davandvapi maya vyavasita sangyan nirgunatvadanashisha. My dear Uddhava, because I have personally established it, this process of devotional service unto me is transcendental and free from any material motivation. Certainly a devotee never suffers even the slightest loss by adopting this process. Purport, although great sages and authorities have established various methods of human progress, the Supreme Lord himself has introduced a system of bhakti yoga wherein one directly takes shelter of the Lord in loving service. One who serves the Lord without personal motivation can never be defeated in his progress and will certainly go back home, back to Godhead in the near future. So, the title is of the chapter is Bhakti Yoga. And it's very similar to Bhagavad Gita, in a sense, isn't it? Krishna himself is speaking. And he's giving specifically instructions on the process of Bhakti Yoga, devotional service. Saying it's the best process of spiritual enlightenment, the best process of self-realization, just as he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Pratyaja, Mamekam Saranam Braja, Aham Sam Sarva Pape Bhyo Mukshay Shyami Masucha. You give up other types of religious activities, just surrender to me. Just engage in devotional service. And in return, I'll protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. There are various kinds of sub-religious principles or religious activities which you find in the Vedas. Performance of sacrifices to please the demigods, especially, and other activities like giving in charity, performing austerities, rigorous study of the Vedas, like the Mayavadi sannyasis were doing in Varanasi. They were studying Vedanta Sutra and performing austerities. This was a sort of traditional activity of the sannyasis. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't engage in those activities, rather he was simply chanting the holy names of Krishna, dancing, encouraging others to participate in Sankirtan. Well, of course, he was austere, certainly. And he also had a comprehensive knowledge of Vedic philosophy, obviously. But still, a conclusion of that study is to absorb oneself in Harinam Sankirtan. So, eventually, his followers arranged a meeting with these Mayavadi sannyasis, and they inquired why the Lord was doing these activities. It seemed to them to be sentimental, but then he spoke very deep philosophy to them, and they became his followers, Prakashananda Saraswati and other Mayavadi sannyasis in Varanasi. So basically Krishna is saying that it's not necessary to engage in all those other kinds of religious activities. In the eighth chapter, end of the eighth chapter, Vedishu Yagishu Tapasu Chaiva. Danishu yat punya phalam patishta matiti tat sarva midam viditva yogi param sthanam upaiti chajyam. A person who is engaged in devotional service is not bereft of the results of studying the Vedas, performing sacrifices, performing austerities, and giving in charity. He received the results of all these and much more also. In a third canto, Devahuti speaks one verse. Aho bata sva pacho tu garyan. Aho bato sva pacho tu garyan. Yad jiva gre vartate nama tubhyam tepus tapaste juhu sasnuraya jiva. Brahmanuchur grinanti yete. That one who is chanting the holy names of the Lord, even if born in a family of dog eaters, is understood to have
studied the Vedas, achieved the results of studying the Vedas, performing sacrifices and austerities, and has achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. So, chanting the holy names and performs the bhakti, it includes all those things, whatever benefits one can get from all those other religious activity, following Varnashram Dharma, for example. When Lord Chaitanya was questioning the Tattvavadi Acharya in Udupi, he asked him, how does one attain the perfection of life? And what is the perfection of life? And how does one attain it? And the Tattvavadi Acharya, he said, the perfection of life is to attain liberation. And he meant to the spiritual world, you know, one of the five kinds of liberation, they go, going to the Vaikuntha planets there to live on the same planet as the Lord, become an associate of the Lord, have the same features of the Lord, like that, same opulence as the Lord. To attain liberation, and the means to attain it is by following Varnashram Dharma. So, Lord Chaitanya, well, he said, that's nice, but he said, actually, the real goal of life is to attain Krishna prema, love of Krishna. And the means is bhakti yoga. When he was discussing with Ramananda Roy, he also asked how to attain the perfection of life. And the first answer Ramananda Roy gave was by following Varnashram Dharma. Lord Chaitanya, it's external. That's external. It's not that Varnashram Dharma is rejected, or studying the scriptures, or, you know, giving charity, performing austerities. It's not rejected, but it's secondary. Primary activity is devotional service. Etavane vilokeshmin pumsam dharma parasmita bhakti yoga bhagavati tanama grahanadibi. Devotional service of the Lord, beginning with the chanting of the holy names, is the ultimate religious principle for human society. This verse spoken by who? Anyone can say? Etavane vilokeshmin. It's in which scripture? Okay, it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's in the sixth canto. So who can say who spoke it? Huh? Who? Vritrasura, no. Not Vritrasura. Spoken by one of the 12 Mahajans. Prahlad Maharaj, no. Prahlad Maharaj doesn't feature in the sixth canto. Which canto does Prahlad Maharaj feature in? Seventh canto. Yamaraj, yeah. This is spoken by Yamaraj. And just nearby that sloka, he also explains who are the 12 Mahajans. And he's speaking to the Yamadutas, who had been frustrated in their attempts to bring Ajamil before Yamaraj, and therefore they were questioning Yamaraj, you know, why is this, who are these personalities? You seem, we understand you're the supreme person. And he's responding, I'm not the supreme person. Krishna is the supreme Lord, Narayan. And by devotional service to him, by chanting his holy names, one can attain perfection. Why is that story there in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Who speaks that story? Who explains that story? Who's the story of Ajamila? Shukadeva Goswami. Why? No idea.
Richard Maharaj asks how we can get rid of simple reactions.
Yes, that's right. Prakrit Maharaj asks Sukadeva Goswami how one can get free from sinful reactions, and to test him, Sukadeva Goswami replied by following the rituals for atonement mentioned in the Vedic literatures. Prayaschitta. So then what did Prakrit Maharaj say?
Compared
them
to riding
of
an elephant.
Yes, yes. He compared it to the elephant who is covered in dust, and he goes to the river and he takes a bath, and he gets out, and then he rolls in the dust again, and he has to take bath again. Well, I don't know how many times elephants do that. But anyway, that's what he compared it to. And Sukadeva Goswami actually was pleased by the perceptiveness of Prakrit Maharaj, that he didn't just accept the first answer that followed the rituals for atonement, but you know, he perceived there are defects in that. So therefore Sukadeva Goswami explained, yes, that will not uproot the papa bija, the desire for sinful activities from the heart. They can only be removed. There may be some counteraction of the effects of sinful activities, but the desire is not removed. That can only be accomplished by practice of bhakti yoga, and especially by chanting the holy names of the Lord. And then he proceeded to relate the story of Ajamil, how he was a very sinful person, but he was saved from the Yamadutas due to chanting Narayan, the name of his son, but since it was also the name of the Lord, the Vishnudutas came and protected him from the Yamadutas. And then Yamadutas went to Yamaraj to inquire how could this happen, and then Yamaraj spoke about the glories of Bhakti Yoga and the glories of chanting the holy name. So we can see then that, you know, that's another instance where Vedic rituals are relegated to, you know, a secondary position there. The process of bhakti yoga, the process of devotional service, is superior. Krishna himself says it very bluntly. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and the fruits of such worship are limited and temporary. And in another way, he says it, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna Mamukhechita Kuntiya Punarjanma Navijate. From the highest planet to the lowest, they're all places of misery, of repeated birth and death. But one who attains to my abode never comes back to this material world. So, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Pitrin Yanti Prachiva Taha Bhutani Yanti Bhutejo Yanti Mam Yajino Pimam. That those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods. Those who worship the ghosts and spirits, they go to such beings. Those who worship the forefathers go to the forefathers. But those who worship me go to my supreme abode. So, sometimes the Mayavadis, it doesn't matter who you worship. Ramakrishna is famous for that statement. Jato mat tato pat. As many different opinions there are. No, so many different paths there are to the Supreme. Do your own thing and you'll get there. But Prabhupada said, no. Actually called him a crazy monk, that he has ruined Bengal. Yeah, actually, he wanted to show all religions are, you know, leading to the same. So sometime he was basically a worshipper of Kali, but sometime he adopted the habits and dress of a Vaishnava, sometimes of a Christian, sometimes of a Muslim. When he adopted a Muslim profile, he wanted to eat cow flesh inside the temple there, Kali temple, and it was too much for the trustees, managers of the temple. They asked him to leave or desist. I don't know what he did, but anyway, in Ramakrishna Mission, eating meat is normal. They sannyasis don't eat meat, huh? Not beef in general, but they do. So Prabhupada, he said that this is not correct. Yatomat Tatopad. If you're in Melbourne, you buy a bus ticket for Adelaide, you cannot go to Sydney or Brisbane with a ticket. So accordingly, whoever you worship, you can focus on that personality, you can, you know, saturate your consciousness with that personality and maybe attain to his abode, I'd say a demigod, can attain to the abode of that demigod, get some material benedictions, but you cannot get to the spiritual world. Even you go to heavenly planets, you have to come down again. That's why Krishna is saying, from the highest planet to the lowest, they're all places of misery. Of repeated birth. Don't waste your time, he's saying, trying to get there. Don't let your mind be attracted by the flowery language of the Vedas. So even though Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam are Vedic literatures, still they dismiss other Vedic literatures as less important. Bhagavatam begins, Dharma Projita Koitavo Nimacharanam Sattam. Rejecting religious activity which is materially motivated, the Srimad Bhagavatam propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are pure in heart. In fact, leading up to the compilation of the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva was feeling dissatisfied, even after compiling so many Vedic literatures. And he approached his spiritual master Narada Muni for guidance, and Narada Muni chastised him that you have compiled so many scriptures, but you know, you've encouraged people to engage in sense gratification in the name of religion. You've authorized them. Pious, you know, material existence. This is not so good. Maybe it's necessary, you know, to try to help materialistic people, sinful people, become more pious. But it doesn't give them, doesn't teach them the supreme goal of life and how to attain it. So therefore Narada Muni told him, you compile all the scripture, just focused on Krishna and devotional service to Krishna. Therefore, he compiles Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the beginning, he's rejecting the other Vedic literatures as not important to this endeavor of attaining pure love of Krishna. Not very important anyway. Of course, there are some supportive rules and regulations, we can say, that can be found. Sometimes you see Prabhupada's quoting, other acharyas are quoting from various Vedic literatures. But we don't spend our time. Lord Chaitanya didn't spend his time, studying all those Vedic literatures. That's why those sannyasis were criticizing him. He didn't spend his time. Although he understood, he knew. When he was young, he did study Vedanta Sutra. He did know it, but later he didn't. He relished Srimad Bhagavatam. After he started the Sankirtan movement, and in his youth, when he was a Sanskrit teacher, he studied all those things, but he gave all that up to concentrate on the Sankirtan movement and relishing the Srimad Bhagavatam. In Puri, when he would be with his close associates, he would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Love to hear the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, same in ISKCON, and Prabhupada hasn't established a Vedanta Sutra class. Because Bhagavatam is actually considered to be the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra. Prabhupada, there's a novel called Shah Jahan. Actually, the main character in the novel is Aurangzeb. Shah Jahan was his father. He imprisoned his father. And so the main character in the novel is Aurangzeb. So some people were asking the author why he called it Shah Jahan. But he explained that, that even though the activities of Aurangzeb are prominent in the book, the main point is to understand the sentiments of Shah Jahan. How he felt being locked up by his own son. So Prabhupada said that the author of a book knows the purpose of his real purpose of his book. So in the same way Vyasadeva, he understands the real purpose of the Vedanta Sutra, and that's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, no need to be studying Vedanta Sutra. Just study the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mayavadis, they sometimes criticize the Gaudiya Vaishnavas that they didn't have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Although the Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept the Bhagavatam as such. But in order to... So generally, the acharyas haven't written commentaries on Vedanta Sutra, but in order to defend Gaudiya Vaishnavism and to establish that the acharyas are actually very scholarly, Baladev Vidyabhushan did compile Govindabhashya. Govindabhashya. That's another name for it. Bhashya, something like that. Govinda Bhashya. In Jaipur. To refute and defeat the opponents. Who were, especially Ramanandis, I think, was one, some Sampradaya called Ramanandis, who were criticizing very strongly, and others who were criticizing. But it is, completely in line with Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna and the Acharyas therefore have established that the process of devotional service is the real path of perfection, and therefore no need to follow other paths. Some of the information and processes can be supportive of devotional service, say like some yagyas we perform. We do have some kind of yagyas for vivaha yagya or for initiation. Varnashram dharma is, you know, also to some extent at least practice to help keep order in the society of Vaishnavas. So, you know, some yagyas, some varnashram dharma, some kinds of rituals are there. Some reference to Vedic literatures. Some astrology, some Ayurveda, some Vastu, some, you know, some Vedic knowledge is utilized in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but the main focus is on chanting the holy names of Krishna and devotional service to Krishna. And the more purely and free from material motivation that one performs this process, the more he can develop love for Krishna, the more quickly he can develop love for Krishna, the more intensely. And as Krishna says, in this, on this path there is no loss or diminution. Again, here it is said, certainly a devotee never suffers even the slightest loss by adopting this process. And then, in the purport to that verse in the Gita, Krishna probably explains, is it not talking about material loss or gain, it's about, you know, spiritual loss. If one carries on with the process, then he's always properly situated spiritually, whatever may happen on the material platform. But of course, generally, if a devotee is careful to use what Krishna gives him in the service of the Lord, then Krishna will also, you know, help him in that respect as well. But it just depends. Sometimes Krishna takes away a devotee's material wealth. You could even say that was the case with Prabhupada in his family life. He was doing business, but eventually somehow things didn't work out, which was an impetus for him to not to waste his time anymore, you know, just trying to earn money for his family. That Krishna looked after. The children were basically mostly grown up. Not to spend the rest of his life just, you know, trying to make money to support them, but it was an impetus for him to take up the mission of his spiritual master fully. He already took it up in family life to a certain degree, but when he got those signs from Krishna that, you know, business wasn't going so well, etc., he just focused fully on the preaching mission, and we see the wonderful results. Okay, any question, any comment?
Can you tell us just a bit more about the different types of the Supreme? You said like about Muslims and other traditions. I don't understand it in a way that in one of the books I read, in the Prabhupada books, basically he said, other positions, even if they teach other things, they're still the ways, the path.
Well, they're...
So how can you consolidate that?
They're generally paths in the right direction, but they won't take one to the highest level. And the Prabhupada said it's like big dictionary, small dictionary. The small dictionary also give meaning of words, but they, you know, big dictionary gives much more comprehensive meanings and more words and fuller understanding. So Prabhupada encouraged people, you know, to at least go on practicing some kind of religion, you know, that is to keep people moving sort of towards spiritual life, but generally speaking, those religious processes are, you know, they're incomplete. And just like if we, there are different kinds of names of God, primary names and secondary names. So secondary names are the general sort of names like Ishwara, you know, the Supreme Control, Paramatma, the Lord in the heart. So names like Allah, Jehovah, they're also in that category. They can lift one to a certain platform of liberation, but they could not give one Krishna Prema, only the names of Krishna, you know, names which refer to his pastime with his devotees, Govinda, Yashodanandan, Nandanandan. You know, they can give one a real Krishna Prema. So therefore, in that sense, you know, there is Bhakti Yoga and the message, the Bhagavad Gita and the process of Krishna consciousness is, it takes one to a higher level. I remember once I was in a darshan of Prabhupada's in Delhi, and an Egyptian boy was there, and he had beads, and he was asking Prabhupada, can I chant Allah on my beads? And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, it's also the name of God, you could chant. But he said, try to chant Hare Krishna as well. Yeah.
So what would be another destination? Like, will those people who chanting Allah or like other names, will they go to heavenly planets? Or so obviously from what you are saying, they will go to the with Krishna. So where they will go?
Yeah, they would seem, that's what they say themselves, to go to heaven, go to the heavenly planets. That's what the Quran says in the Bible, isn't it? Go to heaven. But Shrimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, go to the spiritual world. Yeah. Them so that they don't fall into such unfortunate conditions.
Not so that you
can. Well, some obviously would be hankering for that also, to be with them. But it's mainly for their upliftment. That's, it's said that, you know, person should marry and they should have sons, so the sons will perform, you know, pinda and worship, you know, for their, to save them from going to hellish condition. So that's the main reason, you know, for their benefit. But also maybe, you know, some people want to be with them. Well, there's Pitri Loka, yeah, where their forefathers are residing, and one may somehow get reunited, but it would only be temporary anyway. Chinese people also do, you know, worship for the forefathers, isn't it? In Chinese temple, they have some kind of fire, and people put paper money into it, and paper Mercedes Benz, and the forefathers will get benefits. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Shrantaraj Srimad Bhagatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanandi Ki.